May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I've been living in Canberra for almost 3 years now. And it is true, I am now a fan of the Canberra Raiders. If you will pardon the pun, becoming a Raiders fan, it seems, comes with the territory. But, dad jokes aside, I was sitting at the bus stop a few weeks back waiting to catch the shuttle service to the Canberra Raiders game. And while I was sitting there, some people came up to me and one of them asked if I had been saved. Now, there were two broad answers that I could have provided that afternoon, one of which was, "Yes, sister, I am indeed saved," whilst the other was, "Well, it depends what you mean by saved." Now, being the young-ish upstart that I am, you can probably guess that my answer was the latter rather than the former, and I can assure you that in hindsight, the former answer would have been an infinitely wiser response at the Gungahlin bus station on a Saturday afternoon. Suffice to say that the arrival of the shuttle bus was not a minute too soon. And I guess the reason why I gave the answer that I did is that, to me at least, the Christian faith is about more than being saved. If accepting some proposition is all there is to Christianity, then life after being saved is little more than a glorified waiting room where, evidently, you confront people at bus stops in order to get them to accept that saving proposition also. No. Christianity must be about more than a salvific proposition that is enacted only upon our leaving this life for the next. I think that the problem that I have with such propositional notions is that they discount the here and the now. And what I mean by this is that life is good, and it is lived in a creation that God thinks is good. Therefore, what we do here in this life matters. If all Christianity is about is what happens when we leave this life, then what is to be said for our lives in the creation? What is to be said for this day, for this hour? Moreover, if Christianity were nothing more than a mere propositional notion, why did Jesus bother dispensing the wisdom that he did? He could have avoided a whole bunch of confusion, and, I might add, sermons would be easier to write. Had he just gone to the cross and got it all over and done with? But we know that Jesus enacted a ministry, and that this ministry was one which saw Jesus exhort those around him to change their lives and to transform their ways. The message we heard today from the letter of James speaks to this. Too often read in contrast with the Pauline letters, we must seek to engage with the letter of James on its own terms. For when we engage with the letter of James on its own terms, it moves us to consider what we do with our lives as Christians. That is, the words of James ask us to reflect on who we are as Christians and how we enact our faith in the everyday. It calls on us to examine our actions in this life that we each possess and ask ourselves whether or not such actions are aligned with the faith that we profess. That is, our faith as Christians who live as disciples of Jesus Christ. It asks us to be honest with ourselves. It leads us to question the very integrity of our faith. Two great commandments, as given by Jesus, declare that we shall love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and that we shall love our neighbour as we love ourselves. Do you love your neighbour as yourself? If yes, then how? How do you love your neighbour? How do you express this love for neighbour in this world? The Christian life is one of continuous transformation as we negotiate the variables of life in this world. We all possess an interior life, and yes, this interior life is also subject to the transformational journey that is the Christian life. However, the material nature of our existence in this world demands that we meet it in encounter. This encounter with the world brings us into contact with the full spectrum of encounter. And the spectrum of encounter is limited only by the creation itself. And it is within this creation that our faith may become manifest. As such, our faith may only become manifest in this world through our actions in it. And, as the old adage goes, our actions speak louder than our words. Am I simply speaking about our actions being a proof of our faith? No, I am not. I think to suggest as such is to oversimplify the matter entirely. Life is complex, and there are times when our actions are fundamentally opposed to the principles of the Christian faith. There are times when I am a terrible disciple of Christ. However, thankfully, our God is a merciful God. No, I am not speaking of our actions as proof, rather, I am speaking of our actions as being a fundamental aspect of our being in the creation. And if our faith is more than mere propositional head stuff, then it is all-encompassing life stuff, and as such, it should be expressed in all of our lives in their entirety. Our lives as Christians are lives that are lived in such a way that our journey in and through creation is a dynamic interplay between faith and action. The works that James speaks of are not works of the law. Rather, they are faith manifested in every action of one's life, a faith that is lived as one attends to the everyday mundane, a faith that grows as we both toil and prosper in God's good creation. It is a cooperative relationship, a mutual reliance, and without such a relationship between faith and action, our Christian faith is little more than a nominal identity marker.